The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Word of God for the people of God.
It was in July of 1871 that rules were issued by Chief Engineer Billings of the Topeka Fire Department. The rules were about how the fire alarm would be sounded on the church bell. The instructions included that whenever there was a fire in the city of Topeka, there were a short list of persons authorized to ring the bell. They were members both of the Topeka Police Department and the Topeka Fire Department. They were to go to the Quincy Street Methodist Episcopal Church and ring the bell 10 times in quick succession, and then following those 10 chimes, either one or two or three or four rings would then indicate which ward of the city the fire was in. 10 quick rings, followed by an indication of the ward of the city. 1871, a partnership between the Quincy Street Methodist Episcopal Church, which is who we were before we moved to 6th and Harrison and became First Methodist Church, and the city, fire and police, collaborating and sharing resources for the good of the city. I am proud to pastor this church with that kind of a history and a heritage of connection for the good of the city. I was a little less proud in some of the other historical research that was shared with me by our church historians to read of an exchange that happened not even a year later, in February of 1872, when our pastor, Reverend Mitchell, wrote a strongly worded letter to the editor of the Commonwealth, the Topeka paper at that time. The controversy that was brewing was the fact that the fire department, as a fundraiser, was holding a dance for the community. And the community was invited to come, and they were going to dance with one another, and there would be firefighters present who the community could dance with. And so Reverend Mitchell felt the need to address this problem. And in that strongly worded editorial, he said the following. We said that their design to put out fires was laudable, and they deserve our thanks and our sympathies, but that was no reason why our wives and sisters and daughters, in violation of their church obligations and the plain teaching of God's word, should dance with them. He continues, this is rich. Women who do not believe in a God or the Bible may have some excuse for dancing, but as our Christian women have not yet abandoned their God or their church, I hope you will excuse them. I read this and immediately I thought of Footloose. Anybody else? It is the only two times that I have heard a serious biblical case made against dancing. But apparently it's there as part of our history and our story. And my hope would be that our existence as a community of faith in connection with police and with fire looks more like the first of those stories, using our shared resources and collaborating for the good of the city, rather than that kind of bizarre, petty divisiveness that unfolded shortly thereafter. It is, again, a great joy to welcome those of you who are guests with us this morning, to welcome those of you who are with us on the live stream. My hope for our time together this morning would be that whether you are a longtime member of this church and deeply steeped in what it means to follow Jesus as part of this community, or whether you're a guest with us this morning, that together, in these few minutes, we might explore an invitation from scriptures regarding how we live and how we work and how we invest for the good of the city. The scriptural framework for that conversation this morning comes from the text that Tyler read a few minutes ago. It's from the prophet Jeremiah, who is writing and living and working on the other side of the planet from us, roughly 2,600 years ago. It's during a period in history that you'll hear referred to as the Babylonian exile. This map shows a brief glimpse of what the world geography looks like in that region 2,600 years ago. The body of water on the left is the Mediterranean Sea. Immediately to the right there, kind of between the two smaller bodies of water, that's actually the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, you'll see Judah. That is the geographic region, not really a formal country, but Judah, the kingdom where Jerusalem is the headquarters of that. The temple exists for the Israelites. And then further to the right, the red star and the word Babylon, kind of the headquarters of the Babylonian Empire. Now, what has happened in 586 is that the Babylonian Empire conquers Judah, Jerusalem, destroying the city, destroying the temple, leaving a number of Israelites there in the midst of the ruins, but also taking a bunch of Israelites into captivity in Babylon and taking them back to foreign cities and foreign places where they have not lived before and they do not have connections and they would have been a lost people in exile. Earlier in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet is writing to those people who have stayed and who are in Judah and in Jerusalem, trying to rebuild in the midst of what has been a disastrous time. The words that we read today, though, in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, are words to those people in exile, words of encouragement about how to live in that place. And so I'd invite you, open up your Bible if you're carrying one with you this morning to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. If you want to grab one of those pew Bibles in front of you, you'll find the text on the 687th page, page 687 there. But again, if you're carrying your Bible with you into worship, my hope is you might indicate in some way that, oh yeah, September 2nd, we talked about this text. This is how that plays out, that in future times when you look at your Bible, you'd remember some of this conversation about the exile and about our invitations for living today. We'll start again in that fourth verse of the 29th chapter in Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The invitation here is not to do the bare minimum. The invitation is not to simply bide your time in this foreign land and then someday, very soon, you'll be able to come back. The invitation here is to invest over the course of generations in this place. The particular thing that strikes me in this conversation would be the big difference for us today, right? I doubt that many of us would describe our existence in Topeka, Kansas as that of an exile. Some of you might, I understand, but few of us would. We can choose to be here. And some of you have not just chosen to be here, but some of you represent generations upon generations of investing in the good of this city. And others of you have chosen to be here more recently and are a part of what's happening in the building and the development and the hope for how Topeka could be renewed. And some of you, I understand, maybe do feel a sense of exile or a season of transition. You know that you're here for a brief while before you go on to somewhere else for some other thing. But regardless of how you identify in the midst of that, you find yourself here in this season. And I know that some of you have home addresses that are not Topeka. We represent Auburn and Hoyt and Holt and the different communities around. But this kind of, let's call it the Topeka metro area, is home for us. And the invitation, specifically in that seventh verse, is about how we live in the midst of that. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, whether you feel like you're in exile or not, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Some translations of the text talk about in its well-being, you will find your well-being. And so the invitation is to dig deep in the relationship in this place, to build and to plant, to take wives, to marry, to grow in relationship through the generations, and to pray for the good of the city, because in the welfare of this city, we find our welfare as well. So my hope would be that as a people, again, whether you're deeply connected to this community of faith or here today as a guest, that we would be reflecting together on what it looks like and what it means for us to live and to grow as followers of Jesus for the good of the city. As a United Methodist people who seek to follow Jesus in this stream or in this context, we are heavily influenced by the thinking and the teaching and the theology of John Wesley. He was the Anglican priest in the 1700s that founded what became the Methodist movement. And one of the key pieces of how he talked about understanding God's work in the world was the idea of prevenient grace. Now, I know that's a funny, churchy word, right? It's the grace that comes before us. The idea is that God is at work in the lives of all people, even before we acknowledge the existence of a God, even before we acknowledge any kind of a desire to know God or to be in relationship with God. We believe that God is at work in the lives of all people. So as we think about what that looks like and what that means, we believe that all people are created in the image of God. And we believe that all people are loved unconditionally by that God. And we believe that all people have gifts, talents, skills, abilities given to them by God. We believe that all people are called to use those gifts, those talents, those skills for the common work of God in the world. And I know that for some, that message is a struggle to really internalize and understand. Maybe you grew up in a tradition that gave you messages counter to that, where it was all about being good enough. Maybe you have not really been connected to a community of faith in the past, but because of your background, you struggle to really understand or to believe that that could be the case for you. And so I invite you to hear those words with a slightly different shift in them, a more personal explanation. I'll say that I believe, I, Jeff, believe that you are created in the image of God. Whoever you are, I believe that you are created in the image of God. And I believe that you are loved unconditionally by that God. And I believe that you have been given gifts and talents and skills and abilities. And I believe that you are called to use those gifts and talents and skills and abilities in partnership and cooperation with others for the sake of sharing in God's work in the world. I believe that all of us are called to be a community where we are connecting with God and with one another. That prevenient grace thing, we believe, is that little thing in your gut that says, maybe there's something more than this. Maybe there's something more than me. Maybe there's something else out there. God working within us, nudging us, pushing us to take that step of connection with God and with others. And then as we live those connections out, connecting to a community, we grow. We learn, we study, we experience, we grow so that together we can serve and share the love of God with all of creation. One of my favorite scriptures comes to us from one of the great heroes of the faith. The Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was one of the biggest persecutors of early Christians. He was one who was convinced that this Christian movement in the first years following Jesus' death and resurrection was problematic, and so he was persecuting and attempting to kill as many as he could of these followers of the way, and then he has a profound conversion experience. And he sees what it means to live in relationship with the resurrected Christ, and so he begins to travel and to start churches, and he travels throughout the Mediterranean region, and he'll start a church, and he'll move on to somewhere else, and then he'll write letters back to that church. The book of Philippians is one of those letters that Paul is writing to a church. And in fact, if you dig into the backstory of the church at Philippi, it is a church made up of community members who have very diverse backgrounds and very diverse gifts who come together to use those gifts for the sake of making the community, and the community particularly of faith, stronger than it could have been otherwise. And so in this very beginning material of the first chapter of Philippians, verses 3, 4, and 5, Paul offers these words of encouragement. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from this day until now. I thank my God every time I remember you. Those words kept coming back to me this week as I thought about first responders that we would celebrate today. In a time that is increasingly divided and polarized, first responders function in a way that's different than almost anybody else. When the call goes out, first responders respond. And it does not matter the racial background of the place where they're going to respond, the socioeconomic makeup of the person where they're going to respond. It does not matter the education level of the persons to whom they're going to respond. It does not matter the political affiliations or connections of the people to whom they're going to respond. When the call goes out, first responders go to respond for the good of the city without discrimination. And I thank my God every time I remember them in my prayers. And I think there is for us a vision of what the kingdom of God might look like in this. People doing what they're called to do and responding without discrimination or hesitation. And when I think again about the families who we appreciate as well today, I think about families of first responders who sacrifice so much themselves in order for those first responders to step out and to do what they do. And I thank God every time I remember you in my prayers. Because as I think about the invitation from Jeremiah, it is an invitation for us to live, to work, to invest for the good of the city, period. Not an invitation to live and invest and work for the good of people who think like we think and look like we think and do the things we like to do. It's an invitation to exist for the good of the city, period. Not an invitation to exist for the good of people that we like and that we would choose to spend time with and who we hope to see more of gather around us, but rather an invitation to exist for the good of the city, period. And so my hope would be that again, whoever you are, wherever you find yourself on the journey, that you would increasingly live into the promise of the good news that you are created in the image of a God who loves you. And that you are gifted and called to use those gifts for the sake of God's work in the world. In the earliest decades of Topeka's history, it was a necessity in the developing of the frontier for partnerships to exist where things like fire alarms sounding on church bells were a natural part of community connections. But it was those connections that allowed a community to grow and to thrive and to become what it is today. And it's an exciting time today to be a part of this community. So many of us have hopes and dreams about how development will continue to unfold and relationships will continue to build and how our city has before it a stronger potential than ever before. But I believe it will continue to take those creative partnerships, church people and non-church people, public servants, elected officials, private sector, all of us together, living into the truth that we are created by a God who loves us, given gifts, talents, skills, abilities, and called to use those together for the good of the city. I thank my God every time I remember you, first responders and families, Topeka First United Methodist Church, the city of Topeka. I thank my God every time I remember you in my prayers. And I invite you to join together as we live for the good of the city. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this morning and for the opportunity to gather and to celebrate your love and all of the ways in which it plays out in our lives. We are grateful. And in the midst of the gratitude that we have, we find ourselves feeling hopeful for what it would look like and what it would mean if all of us responded to the call that you have placed on our lives to identify and grow in and share our gifts to invest, to build, to work, to play, for the good of the city. All of this we pray, God, in your holy name. Amen.